The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
A numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. And Kelly Billen, what an hour. What a first hour. If you did not get it, you got to go to the podcast feed.
Absolutely. Podcast feed. Go check out the show replays on VSiN.com or the VSiN app. Get it all now, man. This is, we hit a little bit of everything.
I mean, a little bit of
everything. Well, a lot of NBA. And then
yeah, but, you know, I mean.
Gil's out. Kelly's here. We're hitting a lot of NBA.
But you also get the, this is kind of as we were talking about off air. It's not just what happened last night, but it's kind of also putting a bow on what we think of these teams as they head into the All-Star break, right?
Yeah,
and so any numbers that are attached, any player thoughts, any thoughts moving forward with these teams. And I think that that's kind of a good exercise here as we head to a little bit of a break after tonight, only three games on the slate. We've talked Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, and Portland, and Utah already. We'll get to Dallas and the Lakers a little bit later, but it's kind of a good exercise, I think, to sit back, look at these teams as a whole. What is their goal moving forward? What are they trying to do? What do you realistically think they can pull off? What does their schedule look like? Mm-hmm. Is there any soft spots along the way? Do you think you're going to get a better number? Is it only going to get worse, et cetera, et cetera? All these different things you can try and figure out, and you got a few days to do it.
Well, and it's one of those, if for anybody out there that, is a frequent sports bettor and does multiple sports, and it's a weird thing to say sometimes, Matt, but I love problems to try to figure out, right? When you think there's a possible a problem that's presented that you can make money off of that is a rarity, and this is what I'm talking about with tanking, right? I don't know. I don't have the right answer for every one of these teams yet, right? But like we've gone over the past couple of days, these teams have indicated they're going to do something unlike other teams in the NBA. And whether we're talking over win totals on teams like we were yesterday or playing, the Jazz against them in the second half or player prop, I love figuring out that type of puzzle. So I think it's going to be fun to analyze here, especially when we get a little bit of downtime to figure out what we're going to do going forward.
You're always going to get this opinion from me, West Coast, Best Coast, when it comes to sports. And so whenever we have golf tournaments out on the West Coast, don't get just one or two. You get 3 days at Country Club, and let's do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't see any glow sticks back there with the crew.
Darnell
Stolm, he didn't bring them back for the crew. That's a shame. Oh, man.
They don't want to... They're not trying to impress me, Kelly. like he's out of here. Like he's out of here in a week anyway. We don't need to do anything special for this guy.
They're sweating Chechia in Canada back there. When Danny's got catching 2.5 with Chechia. I know.
They're like, that loser's out of here in a week anyway. Who cares? Doesn't matter. We did get a handy dandy.
Gil is very impressed by the glow sticks.
A little weather report that the PGA Tour put out for us, Kelly. So if you are, by the way, this is going to get going here in about a little over half an hour. 8:45, I think, is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
So, if you do want to put in some first round leaders, and this is not to say this is exactly how it's going to go, but if you want to try to game the system here, the winds 5 to 10 early on, 4 to 8, 5 to 10. And then once we get into the afternoon, while it's not one of the deals that we typically worry about, the like 6 to 12, 8 to 12, 8 to 12, we are getting gusts now closer to the 20 mile an hour ish range. So there will be some gusts there in the afternoon. Now, as you know, gusts come and go. If the guys aren't hitting a shot as a gust comes, it doesn't really matter. But, it is, if you think there's any sort of advantage there at all, it does not look like it's going to be gusty during the morning session. It looks like the afternoon is when those kind of start to come in and stuff. And again, they're gusts. Guys can just wait and hit until the stuff's done. But we wanted to point it out anyway.
Yeah, unless you see, I don't know about you. I know I bet more first-round leader stuff than you do, but the... unless there's like big time rain winds that I can see clear wave, I usually tend to look at the early morning guys anyways. I just think there's conditions are a little bit more easier to expect, right? You know exactly what you're looking at before they tee off, before those markets close for first round leader instead of 4 hours.
They knew they had to tee off early, so they didn't go drinking the night before.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you hope not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or you hope not. Yeah.
We're going to do a first round leader draft. We'll do that next segment. I did make one, though, a little bit because of that information. Mm. Now, if you are betting first round leader this week, we are... You're probably going to see it chopped up into the two different courses. I avoided the one with Scottie Scheffler in it. So
yes, I think that's a good one.
good strategy. Good I avoided idea. The course that Scotty Scheffler's playing on. Landed on Jake Knapp. I ended up not playing him on my main card this week. Still very high on him. Good putter on this West Coast POA. I think when you're betting first round leaders, it's actually one I factor in putting way more, Matt, because you need someone to go out and score, right? They cannot be getting great approach shots and going up there and missing putts early. So I did play little Jake Knapp, 18-1 is the exact number I got it at. If you're watching at home, it's the same exact number, I bet.
Yeah, looking for some, you're just looking for a spike round. Like, you'll hear us talk on Long Shots Live, which, by the way, right. You still have time to get in at least some of the Long Shots pot if you want to go in mm-hmm. and check it out. You can skip through over on the YouTube channel as well. So you just go in and ding, ding, ding.
Hey, it's the one time we're going to talk about it. I'm going to say it's okay to skip to the end.
Yeah.
Skip. Because you don't have much time to get
skip, definitely skip the beginning because we're like reviewing stuff and right. all of that. So definitely skip that part. And then you can go in and start to get our analysis there on all of that. But as we head to Pebble, guys, Pebble is a shorter course. It is a course in which we have seen that historically distance wasn't all that big of a factor. And then Rory came in last year and just decided he was going to pull the driver out and cut corners and take different lines that nobody else has taken. Now, there is an argument to be had that he is one of maybe five or six people in this tournament that could even do what he did last year who physically have that capability. But I did want to point out that if you're watching this thing today and you start going, what are these idiots talking about? This guy's like hitting it, 330 yard, which is just not normally the case at this course. Maybe, and this is something I thought about last night, Kelly, when we got done. Maybe people went and rewatched the tournament from last year and saw what Rory did.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide to take the alternate approach this year where they didn't even know to do it last year.
Right.
But now they kind of have a blueprint. And so you start to look, and I wonder if I have a blind spot in this tournament for some bombers.
Oh, I'm a little scared too. Yeah.
Because I went in with the, well, let me handicap for like the 90% of the field, not the 10% of the field. But what if the dudes who can hit it on a consistent basis, 305, 310, decide, I'm going to give it a whirl.
And especially some of the guys, like a Chris Goddard upright who hasn't played here a ton, right? Too. So I think that probably has something to do with it as well. If you saw that a year ago, you haven't played this event all that often. Why would, and your driver's your biggest weapon. Yeah, I think it makes sense. It's glad you brought it up, Matt. I think it's a potential blind spot for me this week as well. We've talked about it. We have at least talked about it the past couple of days. I've kind of between that and weather, which is extremely unpredictable here. I do think I know it's a signature event and people with football done. A lot of people are going to run to want to bet this. This is a little bit of a kind of like, I'm going to bet a little lighter this week because of those factors, just weather. And I have a lot of bets. It's just kind of staking down what you're betting on them because of the weather and because of that, right? Do we have a blind spot there that some of the big hitters are going to come out here and try to do that? And I was listening to Pat Mayo and Keith Stewart talk about it the other day. Keith Stewart, who's often covering a lot of these events, he said he fully expects it. He said after last year, he fully expects to see driver usage. He did a good job noting just the driver usage has gone up, period, over the past few years. But Rory was kind of the first one to really capitalize on that last season. The way he was talking about it, he almost made it sound like he's going to be shocked if the guys don't pull out driver even more this year.
Well, you know what that means. I got to get me some Pearson Cootie in the account.
There you go. I got a top 20 on him.
No, that's where I'm going. Nobody.
You're going for the win the whole
nobody.
Damn thing.
Nobody. Pearson Cootie, he's going to get in the winner's circle.
He's one of the best putters on this West Coast POA. I was looking at those numbers. He's top three when it comes to that. So, yeah, man, I'm not going to blame you. I'm going back to him with the top 20.
We are both on Russell Henley. Kelly and I are in a bigger one-and-done tournament as well.
Let's get one home.
And we went ahead and went with Henley as well. And mainly this is from a strategy standpoint. There's not a ton of courses where we're going to love Henley as much as we do here. And taking a guy, because this is a big prize pool. So this is where you could fire a big gun if you wanted to. However, you don't get the separation at this course, in my opinion, with a Rory and a Scotty that you would get at some of these other courses that we're going to play later down the line, where their length and the things that's like Scotty being able to hit a 7-iron to 6 feet every single time, where most of these dudes can't do that unless it's like a 9-iron or a pitching wedge or something. Like that's where he's able to really separate, but you're not hitting very many seven irons. Right, you're not really doing that, you know? And so I'd rather play them where their skill set and increases the gap between them and the other guy.
Yeah. It's similar to the conversation we had about the Amex just a couple weeks ago, right? This course isn't quite as easy, right? I don't want to go with the whole, it's so easy that it raises the floor of everybody. Mm-hmm. But what does apply here is what off the tee stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And if you are going to be able to neutralize kind of what these guys do best, then I think it for one and done, at least I would rather use those guys. Yet, not even a question. I'm not even looking. Even Rory won this last year, right? It's not even a consideration for me, really, for him at this course. I'd rather use those types of players at courses that I just think there's even fewer guys that can contend at because of the length that they have off the tee. So, yeah, I do want to – glad you brought up one and done, because it is – well, I'm saying you might want to be careful a little bit with this course and this tournament. Bet from a betting standpoint, one and done, it's a signature event. Big time money on the line. You have to use one of the big time.
I would never, if you came to me and said, I want to play Scotty because I think Scotty's going to win, I'd be like, fine, because it's a huge prize pool. Like, whatever. I just would rather save him for a spot where I think his skill set separates him even more from the field. Yep. I think with this being so wedge reliant and short iron reliant, he's awesome. Best in the world still at all of that, but the gap is a little bit shorter, you know? And so that's kind of where we're at with that. We'll get to every single play in our account on the other side and then do a quick little first round leader draft. Me and Kelly we'll bet a cocktail on it. Yeah, we'll bet a cocktail on it.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin getting ready to tee off over there at Pebble Beach. I was going to say, like, those guys, even these pros, like, they're probably waiting to just get out of there so they don't have to pay $77. You were talking about, like, the guys drinking the night before. I'm like, they're not drinking there. Like, that's too expensive for them to drink there. Like, they're not drinking it. They're not drinking at Pebble Beach.
That part's like, I don't know why they're getting out of there so much. Like, I get it. I get it with Augusta. Some of these other courses, I just don't get it, Matt. Well, I get that it's a lot of rich people living right there.
Yes. But, I mean, $1,200 a round? $1,200 a round?
Man.
$75 a hole, basically.
Not worth it.
That's one of those, like, you never pick up. You know, like sometimes, like you get so mad at a hole, you're like, you just pick it up and you go sit in the cart. You're never picking up. You're just like, no, this hole cost me $75. Like, it's a zero chance.
I'm still laughing at Isaiah Wrinkle's line from before the show. We were talking about different drivers, and I was like, that's why I retired from golf. These drivers got too good. I'm spraying it everywhere. And Isaiah goes, yeah, but it gives you an opportunity to check out the full golf course. Most people don't get to do that. That was a good line.
Yeah, the whole course. I played with Isaiah. He's getting better. I played with Von Wrinkle.
I bet he is, man.
Getting better. Guys, if you have not checked out Sharp Plays, go in. They've been around since 2011. Free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs, and transparent results. Again, been around since 2011. Trusted by the pros, monitored by the book, sharpplays.com. Okay.
You want some breaking news real quick?
I do. Okay. Let's break the news.
We've got more NBA injury information. First of all, real quick, Alex Saar going to be sidelined for a couple weeks, so Wizards continue to mail it in. That's not the one I was alluding to, though. How about Chris Haynes just tweeting out, finally the Jazz are getting this. Utah Jazz star Jared Jackson Jr. likely to miss the remainder of the season to undergo surgery on his left knee to ensure his long-term health. After a localized PVNS growth was discovered post-trade, league sources tell me.
That is why this number's gone to 8.5. So it is up to 8.5 in favor of Portland over Utah.
that would have been good for me to jump on.
Yes. So that is why the screen was lighting up. So up to 8.5 now in favor of Portland.
This is all it took, though. I want to laugh at that because it sounds like we're Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to miss the rest of the season with a voluntary surgery that he's going to get, I guess. But like Utah, do this a week ago. You should have done this a week ago. Have you seen the Wizards? Nobody's complaining about what the Wizards are doing. Said Anthony Davis all the way back to Dallas. Get his hand looked at.
So this is, listen, they heard everybody complaining.
Oh, they heard the chirping for sure. Yeah.
And they're like, okay, fine.
I kind of want to replay that game last night and see if it was a game still in the end of the third quarter. I kind of have a feeling those guys would have played longer back. Yeah, we were starting to pick up the vibes yesterday. The Jazz were hearing some stuff.
So we got, we both have Russell Henley in the account. I have played Ben Griffin. I have played Daniel Berger, and I have played Ryan Gerard, and I'm going to be adding a Pearson Cootie because now that we talked ourselves into this whole deal of maybe the driver will matter. Maybe these dudes will just go and just fire, especially if the wind isn't a big deal. Then, cause I'll admit I put zero driving distance into the account at all.
Into
the model. So that for me is something that I think I'm going to, I'm going to go in and take care of here.
I like it. I bet him in the top 20 market. Outrights for me, Russell Henley, Maverick McNeely, and that's kind of, as Matt's betting Pearson Cootie, Maverick McNeely is kind of my FOMO outright this week. I've bet him the last 3 weeks. It's been good top 20 money. I'm going to play him more heavily in that market, but I'm going to add an outright for a guy that knows this course very well. So 35-1 Maverick McNeely. I did play Shane Lowry, 63-1. One of those guys, great around the green, great out of the sand here. If that becomes an issue with more of the weather, I've at least got kind of one weather guy on the card. Although Henley's been a good bad weather player too. And then the one I added yesterday, I think this is the longest golf outright I've played in the last 3 years. Miscut to start the season for Chris Kirk. I'm betting him this week, 275. Hey, there's not a cut this week. You can't miss a cut that doesn't exist. That's right. Cut. Chris Kirk, in theory, his game sets up well for this course. He played well down the stretch at the end of last season, but not a great start to the season. That's why you're getting that kind of number on him. I love Henley so much. I did play him in the winter without Scheffler market. I don't want to get burnt by Scotty. Top 10 on Henley, top 20 on Henley, top 20s on Mav and Shane Lowry, Pearson Cootie and Ricky Fowler. I'm going back to, and only one matchup I could find this week I really liked, but Henley even money over Hideki.
Top 20 on Hisatsune for me, and then a top 20. I'm very, very heavy on Russell Henley, top 20. If Russell Henley does not finish in the top 20, this is going to be a losing week for me. I can tell you that. Like, I will. I think I could hit an outright. I'm pretty sure I could hit an outright and still lose.
Okay, that's it. So, then you're a little bit more heavy on it than I am. Okay.
It's, I'm trying to lean into these places where I think that
it's where we make, it's where we make our money.
The biggest advantage.
And we talk about it all the time. It's if you're going to bet golf every week to keep that bankroll, active and alive all season, outrights are few and far between. You can't rely on those to build your golf bankroll all season long.
So I'm going to start here with the draft. We will start at Pebble, and I know this is going to shock everybody. Scottie Scheffler.
Okay, just an actual betting conversation real quick about this. I know we have four minutes. Even money for Scottie Scheffler to finish top five on that course today, first round? Does that intrigue you at all? I might actually bet that. It's guys over there.
Yeah.
40 guys, Scottie Scheffler to finish top five, even money. Yeah. I think I might bet that actually before we get started here. Okay, I will go with, our guy, Russell Henley.
Oh, did you really?
And I'm a snake draft.
Brutal. Okay, so
no, I'm doing my we're doing the draft. Yeah, right? So I'll get two. Okay, I'm gonna go Henley and I'll go with my two guys, Henley and Mav.
All right, I'll play the hot hand, especially since we were talking about one round. Prove me wrong, see the Woo Kim. I mean, like the dude is like,
yeah,
outside of maybe God, no, actually, Siwoo is probably the hottest player in golf right now.
He has had the best start to the season on the PGA Tour without a win.
And now, this would, and here's the deal. This typically would have been a course where we would have loved Siwoo. Like
we should have had this conversation more.
You find fairways, he finds fairways, good with the irons, whatever. sometimes he can putt, sometimes he can't, but like, that's okay. We're betting it outright. You know, like we want him, or in this situation,
it's
one round. We want him to just putt good for one round.
And he sucks on Sundays. It's not a Sunday. Yeah. That is the one thing of greatest seasons, Siwoo and Maverick McNealy. Oh boy, the Sunday rounds have not been good. These guys just can't close. They can't close.
All right. And I'll close things out with Sam Burns.
Okay.
We're getting about that time where Sam's going to show up out of nowhere.
Well, and a good putter.
You know, yeah, like we know Sam's going to show up out of nowhere at some point.
All right, I got one. I'm gonna go with the bet Matt just made to rub it in a little bit more. I'll go Pearson Cootie.
Of course,
my third pick. So Henley, McNealy, Cootie for me. Scheffler, Siwoo Kim, Sam Burns for Matt Brown.
All right,
that's our Pebble Beach course.
Head over to Spyglass. I'll let you go first since I went first last
time. Okay, great. Then I'll actually just pick the guy I bet, Jake Knapp.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I know I'm going in blind, but played well overseas, says he's feeling good about where his game's at or whatever. I'm going to ride blind here on Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah. He's somebody yesterday. My mind kept floating back to like, not a great start to the season for him by Tommy Fleetwood standards these days. Over there on the DP World Tour, first time he's coming to the States. I'm with you. Like, again, guys that fit this course well, right? Like, we love Russell Henley. Tommy Fleetwood plays the same type of game that Russell Henley does, and you could very easily say at a higher level. So, we might be sleeping on him a little bit this week.
I'm going to go with my second pick, a guy that I actually did bet and certainly is capable of going low for a single round. I'm going to go Ryan Gerard. Ryan Gerard, we've seen him light up courses for one round. And so, Gerard, over there at Spyglass, maybe he can put me together a 60, 64 or something like that and see if we can't get that home.
Okay, I like it. I will go one of the last leave-offs of my card. I didn't end up betting anything with him. I know that he was popular out there with a lot of people this week. I know Wes is on him. I do like him here, though. Matt Fitzpatrick will be one of mine. You know what? I'll steal one from each of my long shots co-hosts. Okay. Fitzpatrick from Wes, Daniel Berger from you.
All right. I'm going to go because, you know, since we're talking, let's kill the FOMO. Let's not have any.
Yeah.
And we don't need
something.
We don't need him to win the tournament. We just need him to have one good round. Rico the Hoey.
There you go, Rico.
It was
good to see a little life out of him last week, right? I mean, a brutal start. His worst 3-week stretch going back, about a year and a half to start the season. That was scary. So he did actually put together a good four rounds last week.
I'm gonna actually bet him here.
Right, I wonder what his top 20 number is or something like that. That's probably because that price has probably drifted with how bad of a start to the season he's had.
I mean, 40-1 for a first round leader for a guy that, again, he can't win a tournament because he can't put four rounds together. But like he has spike rounds all the time.
So we talked about, you brought him up on the pod too. Like Kitayama's like a better version of that, right? Like these guys are amazing, amazing ball strikers. And it's just, they're such bad putters. But if you can get one round, two rounds.
You need one spike round. That's all you need.
There's reasons why we've seen Kurt Kitayama look as good as anybody in the world.
Feeling good about my team. I'm going to have that cocktail from you, buddy. It's going to taste so
from
sweet.
The vault.
Coming back here in Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin just ran through our golf picks, had a little golf draft. I have far superior team to Kelly Bidlin. The vault drink is going to taste so good. And it's so expensive. And I'm going to go to the back and I'm going to order the most expensive one. Yeah, even if I hate the liquor, even if I hate whatever the drink is, I'm just going to go to the one in the back and order the most expensive one.
There's a little speakeasy. Is he even calling it a speakeasy? Do we call things a speakeasy just because they're hidden?
It's I mean, we'll just call this one hidden, but I mean, they call them all speakeasies, right, like it's just a hidden bar.
Just a bar.
It's a hidden bar.
By the Bellagio, cage. It's great. It's called the vault because it's by the cage. Behind there,
actually, it used to be a vault. Is why it was a vault at one point.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a great place. You should go check it out if you're in town. And there's something to be said about, everybody can complain. They come to Vegas, you can easily complain about how expensive things are. So then to have like the most expensive cocktail in town, it's saying something. It's just it's a wonderful experience.
Here's the thing. So you know what you're getting in. So before we get angry tweets in 2 weeks when people come out here and then they like go and they try it.
And what's the old fashioned way? $80?
Just understand it's absurd. Like the prices.
Absurd.
The prices are absurd, but you're going in to spend an absurd amount, but you know it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So like as long as you know it beforehand.
Yeah,
as long as you know it beforehand. Like don't come back and go like, you made me go buy a $70 drink. No, I didn't make you go do anything. I just told you about this place that's really cool on the inside and has now the presentation of the drink.
So oh,
the
it's incredible. The top drink flight making, mixologist.
The drink making is a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they are every single thing completely. We got so enamored because there were bottles of liquor.
Old bottles, yes.
That were way off in kind of the distance in some of these other little like liquor cabinets and stuff. And so one of their big things is if you so choose, you could drink a drink from a bottle that literally
like prohibition they got from, scotch.
Yeah, that they got from like 1920 and 1930 and 1940 and stuff like that. Like there are liquor brands that you know very, very well. You don't even recognize the bottle because the bottle's so old that the label has changed, the logo has changed, like all the different things like that. And so, again, if you know you are being completely out of line,
yeah, you just got
to
know.
Then it's a place to go be completely out of line.
Yeah.
Hit an outright and then go.
Right, exactly.
Right, yeah. Or hit an outright, win a futures bet or something, and then go be completely out of line.
As you know, there are very few. If I say that I'm going out for a drink, it usually means like that's three, right? You know, that's really what that is. But at the Vault, it actually applies. I'm going for a drink. It's like the only place I'll have a drink at in the world.
Yes. I mean, there's very, very, very little chance that
you're just sitting around there for 3 hours drinking. Yeah.
A couple of cocktails there. And you notice that real quick because you can see the people who go in there and they're too embarrassed to leave once they see the prices. So they feel obligated by drink. They cannot get out of there fast enough as soon as that first drink is gone. They're like, I gotta get out of here.
And it is it's a vault, right? So there's only one exit. And yeah, you got to walk by a lot of
it's
people.
So funny.
Yeah,
you can look around and you see those people. They're like, you know, like I have no problem going, oh, I was unaware of what this was all about. I'm going to leave. Not some people are just like, well, I'm already here. I'm obligated to buy a drink. And then they buy the one drink at the front of the menu. That's like, like the cheapest drink's like $35.
Gosh, really?
I would have guessed 30 or 40.
I would have guessed 40.
It was 30 or 40.
45,
yes.
Something like that.
35 or 40. And it's literally like a lemon drop or something or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a fancy version of a lemon drop or whatever. But like that's what it is. But again, it's a place to go be out of line. Okay, so we talked some baseball a little bit earlier. We would talk baseball again here.
Yeah, I want your high-end thoughts. I want the basic futures. Who's winning the World Series? Who's winning the AL? Who's winning the NL? Who's some sneaky teams we should keep our eye on? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so it would be silly to try and talk your way around the Dodgers. But if you're trying to play some sort of weird... because what we saw last year too is right. As long as you can get into a series, you can figure out a way to try to to get it done in a small sample size. The thing is that the Dodgers are very, very likely to be there,
mm-hmm.
just given not only the talent that they have, but just the depth as well. The only thing I will say about this Dodgers team, and it didn't come back to bite the Phillies last year necessarily. They aren't particularly young.
Yeah.
So Shohei's going to be 32. Mookie is already 33. Kyle Tucker's 29. Freddie Freeman is 36. Will Smith is 31. Max Muncy's 35. Teoscar Hernandez is 33. So you've got a bunch of dudes in their 30s, right? Your only regular starters in their 20s is Andy Páez, who is 25. And so you kind of look at that and you go, okay, if they ran very poorly, given the age of a lot of these dudes and things like that, and we know we get hurt more often the older we get, then there is a world that exists that maybe they are not quite as good as we thought. And that can even go into this rotation, in which Blake Snell's 33, Tyler Glasnow's 33. you know, however much Shohei pitches, we'll see what they decide to do with him, you know, this year. And so they do have that as well. Top to bottom, though, they're going to be, at the very least, a team that is, let's call worst case scenario, a 95
win right
team. You know, like worst case scenario, like a 95.
So baseball season, baseball is always interesting from a futures aspect for me, because it's the regular season. When you got a team that's that good, like you're saying, there's kind of a floor on how many games they're going to win, right? But we always talk about the playoffs all the time, and there's a lot of variance, a lot of wild things that could happen in the MLB playoff setup. Matt Brown, if I offered you a no price on the Dodgers to win the World Series, would you quicker take the Dodgers to win or the no price?
I can tell you what the no price is.
I'm sure I know it's listed out there.
Because, well, Circa always puts up no prices.
That's right.
So, I mean, like, we can figure out real quick what the no price is over there on the Dodgers, which is probably going to be shockingly short, Kelly. Which is one of the things that just kind of lets you know, pro baseball, World Series, yes, no. So here we go. On the Dodgers is going to be, why did they not put them at the top? You'd think they would. The no price is -280.
Okay, that's even lighter than I was expecting.
So all right, would you bet? Price is -280.
All right, -280, or I'll give you +240. Let's see. I'll say you can shop around and find a 240.
If I had to bet one of the two, yes, I would bet the no.
Yeah.
As opposed to the yes.
Yeah.
Because you still have to have everything go right, and we almost saw them lose last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we almost saw it happen last year.
Yeah, I think I would bet the same thing. Not a bet I'm rushing to live through the whole season. But
I am not as high on the Cubs as Adam. I am lower on the Astros than most. He and I both are high on the Orioles, but that being said, not great news coming out yesterday, as we mentioned, that Jackson Holliday is going to be out for a while with a broken hamate for them.
Okay, so real quick on that. Yeah. Hit the pause button on Orioles. Like, is this a, should you just wait into the season if you were going to bet some of those futures?
So,
or are we still long enough before?
He's, while very good, he's not someone that is like, he's the difference, I think, in this team maybe being like World Series,
gotcha,
possible, okay. if he lives up to his pedigree and the stuff that he was doing in the minors, but like, it's not like they're gonna fall off a cliff with him gone.
Now remind me, you're on their win total over, right?
I am on their win total over, and I played a sprinkle on the World Series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so interestingly though, both you and Adam avoiding the division. Just too much talent there, too many talented teams, you don't know how it's gonna shake out.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's because of what we said, where you can still thrive in a small sample size deal or whatever. That whole division is good.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I just need them to get to the playoffs and then we can go from there.
So you'd rather, this is a team you'd rather play high upside sort of bets with. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
As opposed to where I have the Tigers division. I have the Tigers in a division bet. I have the Tigers on a win total deal, but I do not have the Tigers past any of the others because I think in the back of my mind, if things don't go exactly as planned, that they could trade Tarek Skubal.
Because
they just paid Framber Valdez all that money. I don't know if they have the money to pay him as well. And so I think if they are not cruising, then the Tigers could end up being a seller, specifically of Skubal, who is going to bring a boatload of return for them.
I think that's a common thought I've heard. Two other teams I want to ask you about quick. Padres, Rangers, your thoughts on both of them, because I feel like I've heard a lot of people, not necessarily selling on the Padres, but not nearly as excited as we were a year ago. And Rangers may be a bit of a sleeper.
So the thing about the Padres, to me, is they didn't go out and get a power bat that I thought that they really needed to go get. I think that they needed somebody else in that lineup to help Tatis and Machado from a power standpoint that they didn't really go do. And then the top of that rotation doesn't have Dylan Cease anymore. So it's Michael King, I guess, is your best pitcher, you know? I don't know.
Ouch. Yeah.
I also, as well, too, am a little bit down on this Padres team. I'd rather take some of these other ones, certainly, at a longer number. But
Diamondback's second best team in the division?
Yeah. But Corbin Carroll, just hamate. We got Corbin Carroll hamate going on. When we come back, let's talk some left turns with our very own Wyatt Tomchak.
Numbers. Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk. And it is my pleasure to welcome on to this very desk at Circa, the world's largest sports book, a man who I think has both his handmates intact. Are your handmates good?
That's the on the bone, on the hand, right?
The little bottom bone thing.
Yeah, we're good. I didn't punch anything last night.
Wyatt Tomchek, he of the Behind the Glass fame, he of the podcast fame here at the network.
Podcast producer, leader of the network these days.
And then also some...
And then fills in for me.
I was going to say, also some play-by-play, UNLV women's basketball as well. Do you think they can hear over the radio how hard your hair is?
No.
This is not something that translates through the radio is your helmet head.
I think they can feel the excitement. He feel my head.
Your hair looks great. Whoa, man. Okay, never mind. That's right. It looks great, though.
It's a man that keeps the hair product companies in business. Look, there's no doubt about it.
I use the Hard Up. I get it from Sports Clips.
Okay.
Because that's the only place I know where they sell it. And
it works well.
Yeah.
I don't like
the hair to move.
Yeah. Everyone knows that. There's no doubt about it. So you are big into the Daytona 500. As well as just NASCAR in general. One thing we do know is we got Kurt Busch Kyle Busch,
yes,
on the pole for the first time in since 20, what is it? How long has it been since he?
No, 20? This is his first pole ever at the Daytona 500.
But he's 0 for 20 lifetime.
Yes. So he is, I like to say Kyle Busch is one of the, he'll go down as one of the top drivers in NASCAR history. In his prime, I would say he was like Scotty Scheffler. Okay. It seemed like he was winning every two, three races. But the last 2 years have been a real struggle bus for him. 2 years ago, he had a lot of good cars, just crap luck. And then last year, they were just god awful. So he's had a new...
moved out of the Gibbs team. He's on Richard Childress.
Yes, this is his third year with RCR. Fourth year with RCR, my apologies. First year, they won three races in the first 15. They're like, wow, this is a good hire. And then since then, it's been... he hasn't won in over 2 years, which is quite surprising.
How big of an advantage is it for him to be on the pole?
Not much.
Not so much in particular, because we're going to kill people here when it crashes and stuff?
Well, as you tweeted about it last year, or I think you said it on Money Moves, was that the Daytona 500, it's just a huge crapshoot.
Yeah.
It becomes a wreck fest. So I think it's just kind of nostalgia. It's kind of cool to be able to start on the front row.
No, why? I feel like every year we go into Daytona, there's something changing with cars or teams or concerns about this race or something. Before we even get to the odds and kind of what you bet this week, what's kind of biggest storyline, biggest thing people need to know about Daytona this year heading in?
Oh man, I don't know. The offseason wasn't as wild. I would say actually the most wild part of the offseason was the Michael Jordan court case.
Yeah.
That really put NASCAR in a bad light. There were some. You know, when you sue people, a lot of the texts come out.
Yeah.
And one of the owners, actually the owner for Kyle Busch for RCR, the executives for NASCAR really said some mean things about him. Some things that, you expect to hear on the Xbox Live chat. So that was probably the biggest thing. And it kind of changed also for NASCAR, I think, just the way how teams are going to get paid. And also NASCAR wound up changing their playoff system to where before, if you won a race, you were in the playoffs. Barring if they had more than 16 winners. So if you won, you're in. Now it's all based on points. You go the first 26 races, top 12 or top 16 with points, get into the playoffs, and then the final 10 races is going to reset.
So let's talk a little bit about how you bet NASCAR. There's going to be a lot of it. Now the football's over, right? Football is now, everyone's account is flush. And so they're going to be looking to bet other stuff. We've talked about some of the basics with golf, talking about some of the basics with NBA and whatever. What are some of the basics here for NASCAR for people who are getting in for the first time? Because it's not just an outright sport, just like it is with any of these other ones, right?
Well, for me with NASCAR, I will bet more outrights for what we like to call plate races. Mm-hmm. These are tracks where the cars are really close together. You're going to get these 3-4 wide packs where, you know, it feels like the entire field is within a second of each other.
That's Daytona.
That's right. Daytona, Talladega, and Atlanta. So that'll be, Atlanta is right after. And these are also races where we always text you guys, hey, these are great opportunity to live bet. Mm-hmm. Because guys can go from first to last in a lap.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get back up to the front in about five laps. So I usually bet very heavy on outright winners in those races because I think you're going to get a lot more value. for the intermediate races and for the short track races, I usually like to do placement markets, you know, top Chevy, top Toyota, top 10, top five, the groups, whatever it may be, because I don't find it a lot of value with just outright winners. You know, say like Shane Van Gisbergen for road course racing, he has absolutely waxed the field. He might be minus number, which is unheard of in NASCAR. Mm. So it's just, you don't find value in that. I find more value in placement markets.
Okay, I like it. So let's get into the race here. We got Denny Hamlin 9-1. He is your favorite on the outright market. Ryan Blaney 10-1. William Byron, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, all 11-1. Then we get to 12-1 or longer. I know you got a bunch, and this is, I guess you're kind of spreading out over the board because there are going to be crashes. All right, there's crashes every single year. A lot of these cars are going to be taken out of it. So who did you land?
Well, I was, before qualifying happened yesterday, I was high on Kyle Busch, and I was like, you know what? He hasn't won here before. He has won every race in NASCAR except for this race. So I was like, and he's from Las Vegas. So I was like, all right, got to have a little bit of love there. So I went with Kyle Busch. He's had good cars here at the 500, not a lot of good luck. Also another guy, and also with these races, is you got to look at manufacturers. Mm-hmm. The Fords are really, really strong. They have been over the last handful of years. So I went heavy on a few Fords. I went Ryan Blaney at 12-1, Austin Cindric at 15-1. They're teammates. Ryan Preece, who won the Clash, he's at 22-1. And Brad Keselowski, who's coming off a broken leg, at 22-1. Those are a couple of the shorter shots that I like.
Ryan Preece. I haven't heard of that one.
He is famous. You got to look it up. He has flipped at Daytona twice.
Oh, that's scary.
He had one of the worst flips I've ever seen, where he had to get up about, like, it felt like 50 feet in the air and flipped about 8 or 9 times.
So you mentioned this one being a live betting opportunity. What should people be looking for? When would this be something that you would be looking at? What is the timing of the race where you're looking to get in line?
I would, you know, to be honest, after a wreck. Mm-hmm. I've seen guys win a race being involved in a wreck. Because at Daytona, you put a little tape on, you're good to go. As long as the car's got four wheels and it's on the ground, you have a really good chance of winning. So, you know, if your guy gets caught up in a wreck, maybe spins and goes to the back of the field, take an opportunity to look at that. Maybe about the midway point of the race as well, I think would be another good one. I think those are kind of the two areas where I would look to live bet.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you've kept up doing this every year, but this is, I actually have like specific timing now at this point. It's like, I'm waiting until about halfway through the race, a little bit after. I'm waiting for that next crash after that point, and then I'm usually picking a couple guys and jumping in. But it's great to listen to people like Wyatt to actually have a short list of people that you want to look at that you think the car's fast.
Wyatt, when the wrecks happen, is it typically the guys at the front that are wrecking and you want to be looking at the guys behind them? Or is it typically the guys in the middle to back and then you kind of want to front run? How are you looking to bet the live deal here? Is it totally random?
I think it's just totally random. The wrecks happen anywhere. I think last year at the 500, there were three major wrecks at the end of the race, and most of them happen about, you would say, up near the front. The final lap, I had Austin Cindric to win, and he got turned, and the guy that I also bet finished second, so that was a little bit unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, it just, the wrecks happen at any which way. I think it's just kind of where you're looking at, like, you know, say your guy gets caught up in a wreck and he spins down, doesn't hit anything, but he has to go back to like 25th spot. Car's fine. As long as he doesn't damage anything aerodynamic wise, you're going to feel comfortable that he can get back up to the front.
Yeah, I mean, the person it affects the most every crash, though, is the leader, right? Because in theory, you're all starting then together in the same pack once again, so it helps bunch up everybody. Okay, I know we went through some of your outrights. Any other bets that you've made for either Daytona already, or I know you got a couple season-long, some fun win props?
Yeah, I'll go with with a little bit of the longer odds here. Like, one of my favorite bets I've ever hit in NASCAR, actually any bet that I've ever hit, was a couple of years ago at the July race in Daytona. I hit an 80-1 long shot, which was great. And there are some guys who have some really, really good cars that don't usually run up in the front that I think could potentially win this race, or they'll lead. Like Corey LaJoie is in an RFK car. He's 40-1. That's a Ford as well. As I mentioned, the Fords run really well. And I took a little bit of a, this is a fun bet with Shane Van Gisbergen, who is the road course specialist, but Trackhouse Racing, you never know what's going to happen with these races. Another couple bets, you know, people that are longer down the odds who might be running in the back of the field. Last year, Jimmy Johnson had to have been like, close to almost 10 to 1 for a top 10, if I'm not mistaken. I would bet somebody like him, Corey Heim, for top 10. I think you're going to get good value. And then some of the season-long bets. I mentioned Kyle Busch, who has struggled mightily over the last handful of years, hasn't won in 2 years. I think he can get one win at plus 160. I thought that was a great price. And same thing with Ross Chastain. I just like the price at plus 145.
Yes, you're going to break the streak here. Bush, I think, has won in 93 straight races, Kelly Bidlin. So
that's a lot.
Which is surprising. Liking him to bounce back here. Our very own Wyatt Tomchek, buddy. Thanks for it. Yes. For the time and all. Good luck on all the bets.
Thank you, sir.
When we come on back here, yeah, let's get into some more of these NFL props.